that makes us all not weigh as much?
Yeah, everything doesn't weigh because there's no gravitational field. So everything is weightless or close to it.
So why was there a better situation back then?
Don't know. I posed the question, is that how the pyramids were built? Because if the stones were weightless and easier to move, and they said exactly, or they agreed that they confirmed that the gravitational field was not in place.
Yeah.
So that makes me wonder about cycles again. There's cycles going on. But this is the last cycle, Ina said.
Yeah.
Did that occur with the latest Aurora Borealis type storm? Maybe a week or two ago?
What do you mean?
When there was a pole shift, did that align with there was a pretty big geomagnetic storm within the past 2 weeks, I want to say. And people were seeing the Aurora Borealis in, like, northern Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, which is kind of rare.
Well, they were seeing it down in Boulder, Colorado.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. But ions is that the rods reaching the center of the Earth and slowing the spin of the core or speeding up. I'm not sure now.
Do you know if it's ever gone that far south before?
In our recorded history, I don't know.
Hey, quick question. Didn't Ion say that the Earth is flat, or there is a flat Earth with a dome over it, or am I mistaken? Anybody?
I think he said
it was like a hamburger type thing.
So how could there be a core? Okay, so how could there be a core if it's not like a ball, you know what I mean?
Well, they said today that there's an illusion of a sphere because of the spin. So there's a core because it's spinning. But once that is gone, then the Earth gets flat, or it's visibly flat.
Boy, that's like a ninja jitsu kind of thinking. You know what I mean? Because we all grew up that it looks like a ball, right? But then, if you think about when he said it was a flat Earth with a dome over it, then it should look like a circular plate, right, so to speak, with a dome over it. So, how do you go have rods come down through the core of a, now he's talking about going through the ball, and now he's switching it up that, when the electromagnetic field dissipates, that it's going to be like a plate-like Earth. It's just spinning, it's just spinning.
It's not spinning anymore.
That makes sense. You see the conundrum or the differentiation between the two and trying to visually look at it or mentally look at, as Bob would say, what our visual space is perceived, what we perceived it as prior, and then trying to put in that new construct of a plate versus, with a dome over it.
Well, is it the Earth that stops spinning or the core itself, or both?
Well, we used to think, and I don't know what really is, but we used to believe that the core was this big, nuclear mass molten whatever, which is like the engine of the Earth, right? And it just rotated, which caused the electromagnetic field to go around the Earth, and it spun the Earth. So now we have a plate that's spinning, you know, with a dome over, you know, with a dome over, so to speak, and that it's flat. So if you think about it, think about where you're standing right now, and you dug straight through the middle of the Earth from where you're at, straight down. In theory, I guess you'd look at it as like you'd come out on the other side and just be on the back side of a plate, so to speak. You see what I'm saying? But you have the whole, all the continents and all the oceans right on top. You know what I'm saying? So you have the whole Earth that's just flat, so it'd have to be right on top, but underneath it would just be the back side of it. It's not like you're going through a ball. You know, you're drilling through the Bermuda Triangle and you come out the Devil's Triangle in Japan or however you want to look at it, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Well, I understand today that the spinning is what gave it the spherical illusion. So once the spinning's gone, then it unfolds, if you will.
So it's not flat now?
I
can follow that.
That's what they say. It gives the illusion, spinning gives the illusion of a sphere. And then they also said that the lack of a gravitational field is going to make the oceans and all the water float away. What doesn't burn away? They didn't say anything about a dome today.
No, but he did say it in the past, I believe. At least I thought that's what he said.
Yeah, I don't know. I seem to recall something like that, but I don't remember clearly.
Well, that's an interesting thing. So why is that? Why is there an illusion of a ball versus, okay, the core stops spinning, right? If the ball stops spinning, the core is defunct. It doesn't work anymore. And then it all of a sudden turns into a, you know, a plate, a flying saucer. In theory, that's kind of like when we're going to Andromeda, you know, it's more of a flying saucer because the Earth is not spinning, you know, on the traditional axis.
Well, I don't know if it's round. I don't know if it's a round or like a plate. They didn't say that. They just said it would be flat.
Well, is a plate flat?
Right, but I don't know if it's round. There is no comment about it being round.
Chad used the model of think of it as a stack of LPs with a rod in the middle, and when they are spinning and sliding here and there, that gives that the optical that it's a sphere, which is not. And once it all calms down, they will come down to be one LP only, or one hamburger.
They stack down so that when they're spinning, they spread around, and the spheres, the records aren't all the same size. They're smaller and smaller and smaller going up.
That's right. It's like you'd have a really small record on the top, and then as you go towards the equator, you have the biggest record, and then down towards the bottom, back to the smallest size.
Mm. Okay. That sounds a bit sphere-y still.
A bit what?
Sphere-like.
Spherical, yeah. I don't know, Ion wasn't celebrating when I suggested that. That was in reference to some other work I had done with Ion before on the angel diagram. He said take it and you know, stack them like that. So I just wondered if it applied, and I didn't get like a crystal clear affirmative there. It just sounded like it was a possibility.
It sounded as if the wobbling made it, made the optical or option,
Yeah, it could be.
I thought it was the movement of the wobbling that made the sphere image.
Oh, so that would give the illusion of the multi, platters.
Yes. Well, that's how I understood what you said.
I think that makes more sense based on what Ion said subsequent to that. Yes.
Dad.
Yes.
Hey, just real quick question. I know when you're talking to Ion about doing your symbols and putting them in that circular spiral pattern. Do you use a specific software to pop them to make that, you know, so to speak, spiral, or do you just make your own program?
No, you can use any 3D program. The one I've used most recently is Blender, because it's just a free open source one, so there's a lot of documentation on how to use it.
Blender, huh? Okay. Cool. Yeah, I was always wondering how you're doing it. I know you're a programmer and a mathematician. So I figured you built your own.
Yeah, but, you know, it doesn't even require software. It can be done with paper. Crafts, what do they call that? Arts and crafts materials.
Thanks, Chad. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, if anyone's interested...
I didn't recognize the voice. Sorry if I didn't say your name.
If anyone's interested... If anyone's interested, I found a YouTube channel last year when my algorithm gave me something about pole shifts. There's a site guy by the name, well, his handle is Suspicious Observers, and he covers pretty much of like what Ian has said about the pole shifts. It's quite a bit of videos in his video section that covers the pole shifts and the geomagnetic storms and things like that, what's taking place with the sun. So periodically, he has some, probably just regurgitates what Ion has said about the pole shifts.
Yeah, with the radioactivity and the carbon. Science may agree with Ion, technically. Ion makes it a program almost.
Yeah.
That we are for that or something. That's going to be a stumbling block for the humans when they hear that. I mean, that's why we're leaving. This place is not going to be habitable. They made a statement about Andromeda we hadn't heard before. Something about one of the conditions. No gravity there? Did we know that before?
No, but they've hinted at it because they told Jack maybe in 2020, I remember because Jack was asking about the 14 degrees of freedom, and Ian said, you better know what you're doing when you get that, because when the electromagnetic field goes away, you're going to be on your own. So, I do remember that, but that wasn't Andromeda. He was talking about Earth itself, so it makes sense that if this place is going to change, going to Andromeda, we're going to have to deal with that non-gravity existence. And
Floating?
I don't know, because when I asked about the tent, and that's interesting to go back and ask, they said something when I asked something about the tendons and the AL2SO4 sitting on it. He says something when you have tendons, but when you don't have gravity, you'll be light or something. I have to go back and re-listen to that. But they made some reference to not having gravity. I remember that.
Hey, Bert, just real quick. If that was the case, do you think copper would be a factor in, you know, grounding yourself if there's no gravity?
Richard.
Or will that be mute? Mute point.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Richard. With all due respect for the show and Bob and Carolyn, I am not going to answer any of your questions because you should be able to take time out now and come into the show early enough, whatever you do on Saturday night, and ask these questions. Because I've asked you 2 years ago. I'm a cousin of Mrs. Brooks, which means I have a little bit of discipline in my background, but just listening to you coming in at this time and asking us questions when you could take time out on your Saturday night, or whatever you're doing, drinking beer, whatever, with this new form, you should be able to develop some fucking questions, which I told you 2 years ago, and come in here and ask these questions because we have a new format. So I am not going to answer your question.
All right.
And Richard's been listening for 10 or more years.
Yeah, I got up at 3 o'clock, which would have been midnight West Coast time. So I've been on all morning.
But it's open mic. I mean, everybody can talk.
Right.
This isn't like, it shouldn't be like, if you don't do your homework, you come in and get the information from us after. I mean, that's not really
right.
Fair.
Because we're basically at the wrap. This is a wrap. I mean, if you haven't been noticing this in the last 3 months, when is it? Hyperbone is once, twice a month thing, and now that we have the open mic, we're at like the final phase that it's time to do homework because soon you're going to be really on your own. So I'm not going to answer your questions. I mean, all due respect for Bob, Carolyn, and J.W. at the providing for, but you coming in here at this time and asking me questions or everyone else and chatting questions and things is not fair because we're doing the homework, and it's time for you to do the homework or get ready to become spam.
Well, carry on. What's next? Next topic.
We got a little more detail on the lock and key thing, looking through the keyhole.
Yeah.
At Mice and Bob and the Mantle. I'm starting to develop this idea of the latch that gets turned. When, like, the key
right.
goes in, it hits the latch that turns the tumblers. So we're getting more of the mechanism there, and then they linked that latch to derivatives. And I guess they're talking about derivatives market as opposed to like mathematical derivatives, which would be super complex.
Yeah.
Well, what did they tell Suzanne about the latch key? What you just said, or was there something else?
That's all I have in my notes.
Right. Like, what was it? Someone thought it was a lock key, right? And no, it was latch key. Why is it, what's the deal about a latch key?
It's the piece of the lock, Bob, inside where the keyhole is to look inside and see Mice and Bob on the mantelpiece. The latch is the part that when you put the key in, the key touches the latch inside the lock. It's just like a more detailed component of the lock mechanism.
Well, all locks have latches.
That's right. It's what makes what the key makes contact with is the latch.
Well, why was he making that point? Every key touches the latch, so he was saying it's not a lock, it's a latch.
Well, they're just getting specific. Yeah, they're getting specific, like with other metaphors that they use. Where they get into details, like with the Faraday cage, you know, getting into detail about that, or the carbon computing. So what I have is it was Bert was talking about economic stuff. Not enough money in the U.S. for what Bob has. Mm-hmm. Funding, and then they said funding the derivatives sets the keyhole to the latch. Fuck around and find out is where we are now. Mm.
But the latch mechanism in the law, that's the actual piece that causes the door to open, or that, you know, it's what lifts up or back or out of the way to allow the door to open, to allow egress.
That's how a key works.
Mm-hmm. But that, the key works by moving the tumblers, and then as the key turns, it moves up the latch or moves the latch over, like in a bolt lock, to open, to unlock, to cause, you know, to make it, enable the door to swing open.
Well, I'm assuming you're saying that all keys have a latch. So why is he making a distinction?
No, the latch is part of the lock.
Right.
That
all locks have
door.
That.
Yes.
So he was just talking about the lock and saying it's the inside you should think about.
Yeah. They used to give just the general, they used to just say like lock and key. And then they got into more detail and talked about the deadbolt, the tumblers, and all that kind of stuff. Well, now they're adding the specific of the latch. So it's just yet another component inside of a locking mechanism.
Yeah.
So the latch is the unlocking a process. That's the act of unlocking.
It's the part that touches the key. So whatever the key is, like if we're, I don't know if we're talking about like on the level of RNA or something like that, even what the key would be. But on some level, there's a key. It goes into a hole. As you turn the key touches the latch. It doesn't touch the tumblers or the deadbolt. It touches the latch, which touches the tumblers, and the tumblers touch the deadbolt and turn it, open it.
So with the key as a metaphor, the latch was the derivatives that opened something?
They said the latch, or sorry, funding the derivative sets the keyhole to the latch.
You know that, did we ever tell you that the hedge funds began with IBM's Watson? Ever heard that story?
Rings a bell. I don't remember details.
Yeah. Apparently, Watson did the first hedge fund in the 40s or 50s. An alien came to him. And I don't think he knew he was an alien. And the alien told him, form a fund, a hedge fund. Gave him the idea. Alien knew that Watson would do it. And then the hedge funds would spread. And that would collapse the economy. That was the alien's plan.
Mm.
So it was a way to get, get rid of the oligarchy in a way. I think that's what Ian was saying. I said that like 2012, 2011 or something, way back there. So you don't remember me ever saying that to anybody?
I do. But Watson?
You remember?
The IBM?
Yeah.
Also, yes, I do, Bob. Ian brought this interesting. Ian's bringing up this lock and key.
Yeah.
Because I have a note that when Susanna in 2015 asked Ian, is living carbon the key to unlocking chromosome 14? And Ian said no, but it's the keyhole that it's open by.
Right.
Say it again. Do it again.
Okay. Susanna asked, is the living carbon the key to unlocking chromosome 14? And Ian's response was no, but it's the keyhole that it's opened by. Carbon is the keyhole for chromosome 14.
What is
14.
The keyhole that it, you know, you got to spell out what's
carbon.
The
carbon.
No,
living carbon.
No, whole sentence without it.
Okay. No, but it's the keyhole that it's opened by.
Yeah,
No, but it's the carbon that
living carbon. Living carbon.
Living carbon. The carbon.
Does
living
what?
Carbon is the keyhole.
Is the hole.
Yeah, that what goes through it. The key.
The key.
And what is the key?
That was a
further question.
Chromosome 14?
No, because that's what chromosome 14 is. The living carbon
that's
is
what
the key.
Open.
That, yeah, that chromosome 14 is opened by. So maybe the chromosome 14 is the latch.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So living carbon, when did that show up?
2015. That this question was asked in January 24, 2015.
And that's when he started talking about living carbon.
Well, it was here, but I can go back and when they brought up living carbon, hold on one moment. I have a historical reference, living carbon. Ion started speaking about living carbon. I don't have the date, but actually in 2014 as far as the year.
Yeah. So what is this thing about living carbon? What is it?
They've never defined it.
It was a new factor, though.
Yeah,
carbon
a new
is
factor.
Not living
it's
carbon.
A new type of carbon. I think I recently asked if living carbon was already prevalent recently, and I think they said almost, or not yet, or, you know, that it was soon.
Yeah.
Isn't it amorphous carbon? They talked about how
amorphous.
Living carbon was amorphous. There's those tables of the different states of carbon, like graphene nanorolls and the fullerene and stuff like that, diamond structure. I remember them
Who's
making...
Who's saying that? Who's saying that?
Alyssa.
Alyssa, okay. So then, relate this to the chromosome 14, the original statement. The living carbon opens chromosome 14. Is that what you're saying?
No, living carbon is the keyhole, Bob. That's the keyhole. So it could be the structure, because we talk about carbon-laced layers a lot over the years. So that sort of lace. And back on March 28th, What Youth, I was talking to Ian about living carbon. Because I got a visual from a TV series, or Netflix series. Ion said living carbon through a tool would flow. It would be a filter or a sieve, like the hog wire. So I just picture some kind of like lacy structure for the living carbon. So the holes in the living carbon between in the spaces would be the keyhole. And then whatever the key is would go through the holes in the living carbon, and then they would touch the latch, which may be chromosome 14.
Yeah, so we know RNA activates chromosome 14. So we just knew RNA went in and did something to chromosome 14, which then did something to the DNA. So we've got another thing in the chain link. The living carbon is in the sequence from RNA drops to, on the way to the chromosome 14, it goes through living carbon.
Right. The insulinose formula is living carbon. That's the C122, isn't it?
Yeah, right, Susanna. I think that isotope of carbon is what makes it living, but that would be good to double check and confirm.
So he's put carbon. He used to say, you get the drops and all the fishy stuff, we needed carbon. That's what he used to say, you know, 10 years ago. They had all the fires. So he didn't say that carbon was in where it was. It was in the chain from the RNA mechanism to get to the chromosome 14 went through living carbon. They need a lot of carbon. to provide the holes that the RNA goes through to get to the chromosome 14. And then did he say that the double, the spiral, the ladder of DNA is one half of the ladder, one side is RNA and one side is DNA? Did he say that?
Yes, that was with Brent.
Yes, yeah. That's how DNA is formed. DNA is formed by mRNA, the messenger RNA, attaches itself to one side of the DNA. That's what happens in meiosis.
Right, that's not the ladders.
Yep, it is the ladder. It's the double helix. Meiosis, the helix.
So the ladders are the,
breaks off.
When I have my tiny note chart, the adenine, guanine, four terms.
Yep.
They're not the long length. They're the little steps in between.
Right, are the rungs, the amino acids, those four that are now going to be seven, are the rungs of the ladder.
All right, so the two sides of the ladder, one side is RNA and one side is DNA.
It's delivered by mRNA. Once it's attached, the RNA goes away and it becomes DNA complete.
You can't have any, don't use the word it. Once it's attached.
Once the messenger RNA attaches its DNA, the new element, the DNA strand, it disattaches itself, one side, so there's
Where does
there's
the mRNA
sides.
Come from?
Look, that, in meiosis, it comes through, during birth, I mean, when you're, half fertilization, one side of the DNA comes from the father, one side comes from the mother. So DNA
of the DNA, the
half.
Two ladders?
Yes.
The two tubes are male and female?
Exactly. So there's a male
and
a female
RNA
that come together. The RNA is what delivers it.
Where does the RNA come from? Where does the RNA ladders come from?
I don't recall how the mRNAs are formed biologically.
Well, you don't say RNA. You say mRNA. That
yes.
is the essence of RNA as a messenger ladder.
It's a delivery service to deliver this new information to the DNA in the cell.
Are the
That's
ladders called, amino acids?
The rungs in the ladder are amino acids.
Yeah. I mean the rungs. The rungs are amino acids. So where's the adenine guanine?
The amino acids are usually four in fours. So there's adenine, there's those four names and they're in different sequences in each rung of the ladder.
Well, ion makes that a little bit tricky. Because those are nucleic acids, not amino acids.
Oh,
Ion seems to use them. He seems to use them interchangeably.
Mm. Yeah. So, where do you think these new amino acids are they going to be part of the DNA?
Well, my thinking is that those might be that. Those are the. That's the key. The new three amino acids would be the. Might be the keys to the holes that go into the chromosome to open up the lotus flower.
Well, the thing about the
amino
acids
are the key to open up the lotus flower. And where
yeah,
is the lotus flower
so,
in the DNA?
So let me just ask Brent. Brent, isn't it like there's four base amino acids that get put in each rung in a different sequence and based on the sequence in each rung and how, and the sequence of each rung itself creates, the human genome, correct? Or the nucleic acid.
That's the tricky part. I mean,
if you integrate three new amino acids into each rung, and that gives you then mathematically a whole new multitude of combinations within each rung, and then also gives you a whole new combination of sequences of each rung as it's placed within the double helix, then that gives immense amount of new potential for the human physical.
Well, don't say singular rung. They're all rungs. The adenine
right,
sequence of rungs.
Yeah, I know. But see, as you said, each rung right now contains four combinations of amino acids or
nucleic acids. Oh, you're making it one step. That's a rung. It's one step. You're saying the rung is more is one step. And wouldn't that just be adenine, guanine, or
one of those four? This says that thymine pairs with adenine, and adenine pairs with thymine. So you've got to have an A on one side, which is adenine, and a T on the other side, which is thymine. And the T can be on the left or the right. So the two amino acids come together and make one rung. And then guanine and cytosine.
Yeah.
Yep, so guanine and cytosine are the other two of the four.
And
so
then,
one rung is made by four parts.
And there's a multitude of rungs.
One rung is made of four parts?
Two parts.
Yes.
Two parts.
Oh.
Susanna.
Well, oh right, two parts. Because they come together. There's two and two. Right. Well.
Base pairs.
It's a rung. And it's made of two. And there are two types of rungs.
So imagine cutting a lug. Yes. So imagine you're cutting the DNA double helix spiral in half. So there's a half a rung on each side of the separated spiral. And so then
you're cutting a rung in half.
No. Yes. The rung is cut in half, and then when the messenger DNA comes and puts and replaces it, puts new DNA material in there. It's got a half a rung that connects with the rung.
You mean RNA? You said the messenger RNA.
The messenger RNA, yes. So that's normally how it works.
It puts something in the split rung.
It puts new information in the half rung that it carries. And then it lines up with the existing half rung that is in the cell and creates a new information chain.
Why are you calling it a half rung?
Because a half rung, because when the double helix splits, it leaves a half a rung.
The chromosomes can be built differently, though.
Hmm?
Hold on, that's a weird way to visualize it, because the chromosome is now going to be a 12 by 12 helix. So I don't know if we can just say that it gets cut in half. That's the 144. The 144 is that their chromosome itself is going to get girthier. It's going to be,
I'm just saying how it splits now with the four. So they come in pairs.
Right.
So then when they come together, then there's four. So there's two components that come with two each. And they come together and there's four.
Look, are you saying, I don't know if you're getting it right, a rung is made up of guanine and something else. One rung. Two things.
Well, it's made up of four, but it's two parts.
Why are you
each
saying
part
that?
Contains
Why are you
two.
Saying, why are you saying a rung is made of four?
Because each rung needs four of the amino acids.
Not according to current science.
No, really? No, that's how I've
learned
it.
But they're also, Susanna, they're also nucleic acids.
So the nucleic acid, there's something, it has four. I thought it was a combination of four that can be in different sequences, and then those sequences are also then laid out in different sequences along the chain or along the ladder.
Go get a picture of a DNA and just look at it. Tell us where it says the adenine guanine is.
Because I learned that it was four. It's a combination of four.
Where'd you learn it? You're fucking in advertising. Why are we even thinking about it? Do you remember what you fucking learned?
Yeah, I do.
So, Susanna, there are four.
Well, what if it happens if you're wrong? You fucking remembered it. Like every fucking student remembers it wrong.
Okay, Bob. I wanted to be a genetic engineer. That was my path, but then I abandoned it.
That's quite lofty. Yeah, you wanted to be one. Doctor, some TV show told you that?
I was very interested in genetics for a long time. Yeah.
Suzanne,
Chad's looking up the picture.
Okay.
We're going to see where those four words are.
It's like they refer to the ladder, the rung in the ladder with the four letters that start each of the amino acids.
So let's start with our basic building blocks. We've got four nucleotides.
Right.
We just give them letters. We don't need to know the full names. There's A, C, G, T. Mm-hmm. Every rung on the ladder is going to have what they call a base pair. So there's only a pair. There's going to be a combination of either AT or GC.
That's not the adenine guanine, Chad, is it?
Yes.
Yes, it is, Bob.
It is?
It is.
Yes.
Well, use those words. Don't say ATGC. Say the fucking words.
Okay. So on one rung of a ladder, you could have adenine on one side and thiamine on the other side. Together, those two make one rung. They join.
Wow. That's totally different than what I remember.
And then the next one could be cytosine and guanine. They come together to make one rung.
And that's a complete DNA spiral?
Yep. That's why they're called base pairs.
What are the two tubes? I never got what the tubes were.
The
long strings that the rungs attach, bring together.
They're just called strands, Bob.
Yeah, what are they?
What are the strands made of?
Bob, it's like there's a backbone to them that's a little bit less important. There's a backbone that's just like a sugar with a blah, blah, blah connected to it. The important part is the rungs.
They call it a sugar phosphate backbone. So the sugar things,
the long tube, they twist. But the rungs are where the action is. So now you bring in the RNA and talk about that.
Okay.
What is it?
I'm pulling out my computer. I'm like flabbergasted that it's now down to two. I'm not four.
So, Bob.
Yeah, so Chad, what you say with the mRNA, do they split the rungs?
Bob, let me give you the textbook layout of this. The textbook would say, let me give you like what a textbook would say about this and why Ion muddies it all up. You have the DNA. You have the adenine, thymine, cytosine, guanine. What happens is the ladder, the rungs, they get split in half. They split apart. And that's how you form an mRNA transcript. So it reads one side of the ladder.
Yeah, now
that
you
mRNA
forms that. Where it forms in the hole where the split is?
It forms in the nucleus where the DNA is hanging out of the cell.
No. I only know rungs right now.
Okay, so the rungs get split apart, right? And the machine, the cell has this machinery that starts to manufacture an mRNA transcript that is solely based on one half of the DNA. So they just rip the DNA in half, pretty much.
Now, what's the DNA? What's the DNA?
The DNA is the ladder. The ladder's getting split in half.
No, the rungs are.
Correct, which is the part of the DNA that's getting split. It gets zipped, it gets split apart, it gets sliced.
The whole string of rungs gets split.
Correct.
And then something gets put in there like glue to reattach the split.
After the process is done, yeah. So once it's split apart, then you can start using, The cell can pretty much manufacture what looks like half a ladder, which is the mRNA transcript. The mRNA is...
What do you mean manufacture? No. Just step by step visually. What happens to the gap as a result of the split? you said the mRNA goes in there. Is it glue? Does it reattach the split rung?
There is an enzyme that is a glue, but they don't, but that doesn't happen until later.
Well, what happens before?
It gets split apart, and then there is pretty much the little machinery in the cell that can attach to the DNA.
Where is this machinery in the cell? You know, that's bringing a new element in. Where's that?
It's just an, it's an enzyme. And the enzyme
is
a protein.
Where is
itself.
It?
It's floating around in the nucleus. It's in there. It's where the DNA is hanging out.
Are the rungs, what's DNA? I only know rungs at this point. The rungs are inside some liquid?
The rungs are what make the strand, and the strands are what make the chromosomes.
And what's DNA?
And the chromosome is the DNA. The chromosome is a really large sequence of DNA.
Our sequence DNA double helix strands.
Just use the word rungs. That's all we know. You got the four parts, and they're split in two. What does that string of rungs do?
The string of rungs, which is the DNA, the string of rungs go on and on and on. They curl up. They kind of fold into each other, and they form individual chromosomes.
Yeah, a bunch, a twisting like the intestines almost of the rungs, of the sides of the rungs, the tubes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a chromosome. And then there's 40 or 30 or something of them, right?
23
pairs, Bob.
Yeah, 23 pairs. Okay, what's a pair? A rung.
A pair is a rung. Yeah.
Yeah, a pair is a rung.
Rungs. Okay, now the DNA is that part, the tubes and the rungs. It's inside what's called a nucleus?
Which is just the center of the cell.
Yeah, it's called a cell then, right? The container is a cell. And we're talking about one part of the content of the cell is the DNA, these rungs.
Correct.
It's become chromosomes.
And they're right in the center of the cell. So the nucleus is not the whole cell. It's just a centered, important area of the cell.
Yeah, and what makes up the nucleus?
It's got a little barrier around it, pretty much. A nuclear envelope, the envelope is where the DNA is hanging out to protect it.
So the nucleus is the envelope, which is inside the cell?
Yeah, you could look at it that way. The DNA is in an envelope that's in the center of the cell.
Yeah, and the envelope is called the nucleus.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And so the chromosomes are become the content of the nucleus.
Absolutely.
So the nucleus is really just, as the term is, just the center of the cell. The center of the cell is its own section that's protected with a membrane, and all it holds is the DNA, chromosome.
Yeah, the chromosome. So where's the RNA in there?
So when you're splitting apart the DNA, so you're splitting
the rungs
apart.
When you split apart the rungs.
Right. Then there are these enzymes that hang out in the nucleus as well. So the envelope of the cell doesn't only have the DNA. There's some little proteins floating around, which are enzymes. They have the ability to split the rungs apart. They will then read the information on the rungs, and they will create a transcript, which is mRNA.
That's RNA or mRNA?
That's RNA, and it kind of has to go through a sorting process before it's officially mRNA. And what happens once it leaves the envelope of the cell, the nucleus, then it's officially mRNA. So it actually leaves the rest of the genetic information behind, and it travels out to the outer part of the cell that's just fluid floating around. It goes into a fluid area.
Okay. Okay, so if that was originally RNA and it became mRNA, what is the RNA? Where is that before it becomes mRNA?
The RNA is very similar to the DNA. It is just a transcript.
Well, it's a bunch
like
of rungs.
A copy.
Okay, similar to
well,
the
here's the
DNA,
thing, Bob.
It's well, similar to well, the rungs.
It's very similar, but the difference is that it is single-stranded. It's only half the ladder.
Right. So it's single-strand stuff floating around in the nucleus.
Yeah, yes. It's pretty much like if you cut the ladder in half and you made a copy of one half of the ladder, that's what RNA looks like.
Yeah, but it's not that. It looks like it, but it's separate from the split rung.
Well, it's actually very similar. It's DNA and RNA are almost exactly the same molecule, except the RNA has oxygen added to it.
So then the RNA starts acting as an enzyme and splitting the rungs, and then it's called mRNA.
And the M stands for messenger. Because then the only purpose of the messenger RNA is to deliver that information that it's attached to it to another
that is in the RNA.
RNA.
There's information in the RNA. And when it becomes a working function, it's called mRNA. And it splits the rungs. That's what we got so far.
Right, because it's ready to actually take the information from the DNA and do something with it. And that doing
from
something
the DNA,
process.
I don't think it takes information from, it takes it from the rungs. See, there's no DNA.
Correct.
No, DNA exists as a double helix strand.
With the rungs.
RNA, yes, with the rungs. RNA is a single-stranded structure. Whose only purpose is to attach
this single RNA pokes into the rung and does something, and then that's what is called mRNA. It's the RNA doing something.
Well, what happens for a cell to replicate itself is that the synthesis that happens is that the DNA strands split so that the cell can split, and the RNA then helps transfer those two strands to new other single DNA strands to make two cells.
There's no single DNA strand.
No. There's only single RNA strand. And the whole purpose is that...
You didn't do that right. So you got RNA, these singular things, they split the DNA, which is the rung.
Yes.
Hold on, Bob. They don't... The RNA doesn't actually do the splitting. Mm.
No, they just carry.
What does the splitting?
The splitting is pretty much done by an enzyme called RNA polymerase.
Polymerase, yeah.
So it's the single stranded.
Yeah, the polymerase is the enzyme.
There's a little machine that's going through the rungs and cutting them in half, and it's using only one half of the DNA as a template. And that
one half of the DNA, one half of the rung.
Half of the rung. Right.
Well, how does that take stuff from the rung to become an enzyme and then flip the fucking rung?
It gets
that makes
split
sense.
Apart. Well, yeah, an ion kind of makes it even more complicated too. So it gets split apart and because the ladder carries, the rungs carry information, so they have the A, the T, the C, the G, that makes it very simple, because it's a universal language, makes it very simple for the polymerase to start building a template, and that template is called RNA. So it's simply reading.
Now, wait a minute, now you're saying that there's no RNA, but the enzymes do something to the rungs that then creates this single strand called an RNA.
That's correct.
Hi, Bob.
No, don't bring any shit in. So then where does the mRNA come from? out of that newly created RNA strand.
There's like little fragments floating around to build it, pretty much.
To build the RNA string.
Correct.
Yeah, fragments of mRNA?
Fragments of little pieces of rungs of the ladder, pretty much.
Uh-oh, now you're getting over into the DNA. Tell me how the RNA is different, what it does, what it changes
RNA
into. And what is mRNA?
RNA and DNA are almost exactly the same.
There's two strands in the DNA brought together by the runs. And then there's this other strand called RNA. I got that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what do they do to each other?
They don't do anything to each other. The RNA is actually just a copy of the DNA.
Info messenger. Copy of the form of the strand. It's a copy of the form of the strand. We stick with the fucking things, what they are. So you tell me how this RNA strand copy or whatever, how it does something with the enzymes or result of the enzymes that cut the rungs into.
Bob, it's kind of like you have a book and you open the book.
I don't want any likes. You just tell me what it does, maintaining the parts, because then it becomes a obscured fucking bullshit, and the genetic guys don't really know what actually is going on.
Do you know what a photocopier is, Bob? Do you know what a photocopier is?
Who just said what's true?
That's true, that they don't know what you're talking about, because I had a discussion with Ion years ago in 2019 about chromosome 17, and when we started, Ion said that they don't know what you're talking about as far as the
they never do.
DNA,
right?
Sounds like another string theory.
Another fucking bird theory or whatever words of fact.
Journey to Andromeda around the cosmos.
Early failed attempts to Andromeda. But look, the thing is because they're leaving out, quote, spirit or non-physical, which is in there, Evergreen used to say that there's a blue that permeates our whole matter here. And that's the other element, the non-physical, whatever, I know, spirit or something, that's in here. They don't look at that. They don't see it. And that's doing the work. And so they fuck up everything because they don't include this extra element.
Mm-hmm.
We do, so ours works. And we don't get stuck with the thing.
Right.
So I let Ion obscure its fucking description, except that it's not really being clear, because it's working with a bunch of shit that isn't clear.
Okay. Well,
that was given by science.
Science isn't clear. They don't know what's going on. Mainstream science is saying that messenger RNA is necessary for the synthesis of cells, the splitting of cells, the copying of cells in the body. So that.
Yeah. So what is that splitting of the cells? That's a bigger thing than the DNA splitting of the rungs, right? That's a larger thing.
Well, that is the humanness that is not what we are interested in. What we're interested in is using the mRNA that Carolyn has developed to put into our DNA now that will split and take that new information and be put together again for the last time. It will never split again, and no cell will need to replicate itself.
But the RNA drops are not mRNA. That's what Ion cleared up. They are not.
Right, no, but there is new information that, and that includes the three additional amino acids that need to be put into the formula or into the program of the cell to
We don't know if they're going into the formula. Look, Ion has said that the RNA
has information,
and it doesn't tell us what that information is. I think